Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Neurodiverse Radio. Your host for this 30 minutes of Neurodiverse Radio. I am the world's only standalone neurodiversity coach, and you can find me at processdifferently.com. My blog is heathermcrae.wordpress.com. If you join me at 9 p.m. tonight via Skype, I'm doing a free one-hour session of niche construction coaching. It's a group coaching process, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It will be an hour. It will be free. All you have to do is send me a Skype message with your Skype ID, and I will include you in the group call, and I look forward to that. Happy Monday, everybody. We made it. If you're out in the Pacific Coast, it's 5 p.m., so you're probably thinking about going home. And if you're in the East, as I am, it is evening, so I would really encourage all of us to take three deep breaths in through our nose and out through our mouths. And I'm suggesting that for grounding and also for grounding and nothing else, because it just feels so good. I'm very, very excited because tonight my guest is my very, very good friend and teacher and coach, John Evans. And I've known John for many, many years. I am an initiate in the Modern Mystery School. And I first met John when I was an initiate for about a year, and John was teaching Universal Kabbalah. And I studied Universal Kabbalah in a group with John as our guide for a year, and that was absolutely one of the most important experiences of my life. And one of the things that John continues to remind me every time we work together is that spirituality without groundedness is not very constructive or useful. And John is one of the most grounded people I know, and also one of the most spiritual. I've learned so much from John. He has a wonderful meditation that he does every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would be 7 Pacific. John's business is called the Sancti Center, and his website address is S-A-N-C-T-I-C-E-N-T-E-R, sanctiCenter.com. John's email is info@sanctiCenter.com, and you can reach John in Los Angeles at area code 323-354-5771. I can't say enough about John. He is a friend. He's my brother. And I am a big believer in teachers, but I'm not a believer in gurus. And one of the things that's lovely about working with John is that he is a teacher, and he knows a lot, but he is not a guru. He is a very human person and has a wonderful sense of humor and a gentleness that I just really cherish. He and his partner Marcy are two of my favorite people in the world. John, are you there?
I am. Thank you very much.
I am. Thank you for being here, John. I've been trying to get you on for months. I keep pestering you. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry that I've been so elusive. It's just the work schedule gets pretty crazy, you know?
Well, you're a pretty busy man. I mean, designing amazing spiritual jewelry, teaching classes.
Oh, thank you. You mentioned meditations are going on. Right now I'm on hold on the meditations for about 6 weeks or so, and then I'll be starting them up in June. So I just wanted to make a clarification there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm really devoting myself to some really focused personal spiritual work, and I need that little extra time to devote to my own progression.
Well, I think that's fair, because you've been doing the Thursday night meditation for a couple of years now, haven't you?
Well, this time, yeah. I mean, before that, I was holding on Wednesday nights, and I think we did that for about 4 or 5 years. So it's good to take a break every now and again.
So, John, tell me something. If you, there's so much that we could talk about, just because there's so much that I know that you, that I can, you know, every time you and I have just even a regular conversation, I learn something. It, for people who don't know you, do you, why don't you tell people a little bit about your story?
My story?
Yeah.
Which part?
You were born a small child, you became enlightened, and now you teach.
Yeah, well, I don't really consider myself enlightened. Although I was born in a rather unique situation. My father was a Texan, and born in the Bible Belt, he actually was very heavy into Christianity and actually became a Baptist minister at a rather young age. But he was also part of the World War II and part of the CV. So after World War II was over, he was in Japan. That's where he and my mother met. And my mother's Japanese. But so my dad, being a Baptist minister, a very Christian, but very open-minded, my mother comes from actually a very unique Buddhist tradition where she is a Buddhist holy woman. And it's called, the actual title is called Uta, and the closest approximation for our language would be like a shaman. Buddhist tradition is very focused on helping people to bring peace to their family and their ancestral connections and all that. And so there's a lot of actual spiritual connections there, a lot of information surrounding that. So my training started at a young age with my mother trying to teach me this trade. And so I've always, my mom is also extremely sensitive, what I would call psychic.
Sure.
Very, very visual, very clairvoyant. She could always tell us. It's hard trying to get away with stuff with a mother who's very psychic. So I got in trouble a lot. I couldn't figure out how she knew. So until I grew up and figured out that, you know, this is how she does it. So
that's hilarious. So
you come
into your shamanistic tendencies honestly.
Yeah. Well, but also my Buddhist tendencies and also my Christian tendencies. So mm-hmm. I'm actually an authentically born Christian Buddhist. And a lot of people think that that's an oxymoron, but it's not, because Buddhism is actually a philosophy and a way of living, and Christianity is a faith of connecting to the Christ energy,
right.
Christ light. So that's actually how it all started. And around the age of 20, I started really diving deep into spirituality, but didn't really have any understanding. And I don't think it was until I hit my mid-30s where I decided that I didn't like the direction my life was going, and I made a radical shift and just devoted myself to my own spiritual progression. So, you know, at the age of 30, I was working for the government as a test engineer, not very happy, losing my hair. My hair was turning, what was left was turning gray.
Didn't you tell me that you were like a nuclear physicist or something? You were a...
No, actually, I'm a nuclear test engineer by trade.
Okay.
So yeah, a lot of school, a lot of training, a lot of hair pulling, not a physicist, just a test engineer, which, you know, sounds pretty cool, and it's actually a lot of book knowledge.
Which means really, really good at math, right?
Really good at math, good at physics. Good at understanding complex interactions between systems, working
sure.
how different systems interrelate to each other, and a really good understanding of energy, how things flow. So I learned a lot from that, actually, and it was easy to translate that nuclear engineering training into spiritual training, because they're actually just reflections of each other when you really get down to it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, at the age of 32, I decided to dive deep into my own spiritual progression, and that was, 18 years ago. So now, at the ripe young age of 50, I think I've learned that the spiritual forest, if you want to call it that, is
sure.
so vast. I think I've walked past the fourth tree by now. in this vast spiritual forest. Where before I thought I was a mile into the forest, now I realize I just got past the beginning.
It's so funny that you said that, because I feel like for me, ever since my mother died when I was 19, I spent so many years studying and learning and studying and learning, that everything that I've learned has taught me to just let it all go and just live life very simply. Hey, we have a caller. His name is Hugh. Are you ready to take a call, John?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Hugh. You're on the air with Heather and with John.
Hi. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in Virginia, and I was raised Catholic. I consider myself a lapsed Catholic, but I have a Christ consciousness, and I actually asked Jesus to co-create with me. I'm working on a huge vision and mission of bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love. I've been coming into contact with a lot of very interesting people that are fully attuned and looking to help me manifest these things. I'm wondering if John picks up on any of those energies, or what he gets as far as any messages for me.
Oh, Hugh, that's such a great question, and what a great thing you're doing.
Well,
yeah,
it's time. The technologies are in place, and it's really simple stuff. It's just a question of getting people out of their heads into their hearts, having them align that with the Creator, whoever they feel that may be, asking for divine guidance on a daily basis. And the other big key is to be in gratitude and to take actions, because it's not just talking about it. It's from the actions that you learn how to progress and raise your consciousness.
Exactly. Yeah, without action, there's always failure. So the question is, have I picked up on any of the global shift or focus on global consciousness?
Well, just on the people that I'm coming into contact with, because I've been taken advantage of many times before, but I feel the vibrations are right with the people I'm now beginning to interact with, to begin to get this information flowing out to the masses rapidly.
Well, I don't normally play the role of psychic. Most of my roles is that of teacher and guide. However, I would take a look at the people that you're working with and go within yourself and feel in your gut, in your solar plexus, but also in your belly button area, your hara or your lower dante, basically your belly button, your belly. And go with him and feel, when you think about this person, is there a resonance within you that says this is good, this is acceptable, or is there something here that is in resistance when working with this person? And that will tell you if the energy and the desire and the will is unified.
Yeah, I feel I have the right ones now, but I was manipulated by what it turned out to be a full-blown narcissist at one time.
Yeah. Excuse me. And I think, everywhere you go, you're going to run across people that have their own agendas. And ideally, it would be better if we all came together without agendas and just created in a way that supported what is best for all. Because then no one's left behind in that.
Right. Thank you very much for your insight. And one other quick thing, you're out in the L.A. area. Are you familiar with Ron Holman at all?
Actually, I don't. The name is not familiar. Is he a guy out in this area? Does a lot of work?
I'll leave a message for you about him. He's got something out of India with about 400 herbs or whatever, and he gives free water he processes this and empowers it, and it's actually got anti-aging and all kinds of miraculous things. It's some special gurus or yogis over in India have done. They brought this over to this country. Is giving it away free.
That's awesome. You can do an awful lot with vaulting water.
Hugh, do you have John's number? Do you need me to give it to him?
I found his website. I'll leave a phone message for him. I thank you very much for giving me the time. I'll let you continue on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling, Hugh. I appreciate it. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Take care and God bless.
Oh, thanks. You too.
Hugh,
God
I'd like to share with you one other thing, Hugh. On my website, since you've been on it, I offer a gift to just about anybody who wants it. It's free. There's a meditation series that people can just sign up for and receive. It's emailed to you, so you actually have to sign up to our email list for it. But in the, I think it's a fourth meditation, there's a meditation called Possibilities. And it's a meditation designed to help you to connect to people that will be in alignment with you and your purpose and mission and focus in life, and helps open doorways. So even if you don't know these people, this is actually what it's designed for, to help you run into the right person at the right place at the right time. There are seven meditations. They're all free, but I think the Possibilities one is something that would really, really help it to open the doors that you're looking for and to confirm that these are the right people.
Oh, that's very interesting. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
John, is that you have done just so many? I mean, I can pretty much remember every single meditation that we've done on Thursday nights, and you did a wonderful meditation about being in a garden. Is that the? I won't go into detail because I don't want to spoil the fun for anybody. But is that the one that's the meditation you're talking about?
Yeah, the garden meditation and the opportunity meditation or possibilities meditation are pretty much the same thing. It's flavored slightly depending upon what you're utilizing it for. The garden meditation is to help enhance your relationships, but then you modify that just slightly to open the doors within those relationships. So everything is about connecting and about bringing an alignment of wills rather than finding someone to do something for you. This is nothing about this is manipulation. It's about finding harmony.
You know, it you said that so beautifully, John, and, you know, I keep thinking about, and I know you don't teach Kabbalah anymore specifically, although you do work with Hermetic teachings, and you're very clear about that, but I have to tell you, John, one of the most important things that I repeatedly learn with you, which was, you know, a really big leap when I was first studying Kabbalah with you, was the concept of personal responsibility taken on a spiritual level, and how, you know, looking at my life as not just, you know, a girl and a mission and all that other stuff, but really seeing myself as a creator goddess and realizing that I actually am 100% responsible for every single thing going on in my life. And that if I don't like what's going on, then I need to look at why I created it. Can you speak to that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that have talked about this concept. And what it really comes down to, if you take a look at the deeper esoteric teachings in Kabbalah and in Hermetics, as well as in Buddhism, and actually Jesus taught this as well. You know, and everyone knows that what you think is what you are. And what you say is what you do. But what it really comes down to is how you think and how you feel about yourself really set forth the energy in your body that motivates you and compels you into action. So the problem is that we think one way and we feel another, so we're standing in opposition, because we have hopes and dreams of what we really, really want.
Yep.
But inside of us, there's a little resistance. There's like, oh, I don't know if I could have this, or I could never get that, or I'm not good enough, and all these emotional energies that come in and that displace the desire to create great things. And so
right.
that duality of thought and emotion, where they're opposing each other, sets forth an energy of either non-action or destruction. So if you really
And it's
want
all ego,
to,
isn't it? It's all negative ego.
Well, it's all ego, yes, but ego is actually, you know, a force that compels us to take action. It's if you think about your ego, every time the ego comes into play, people often jump into action without really without full conscious awareness of what they're doing or why they're doing it. And when asked for the motivation, they can maybe think of one or come up with one later. But often the people just jerk knee action or an auto response. So the ego just really just stimulates us to take action. And the only way to override the ego is to move into a state of living meditation, which is an alpha state of consciousness, so that you're aware of your actions even as you're doing them. So the personal responsibility thing falls back then. If you want to change your life, you have to take a look at why you think the way you think, or why do you have the emotions that you have, and bring into yourself peaceful resolution within those. Instead, and it doesn't, you don't have to combat your negative ego. You don't have to destroy or eliminate your negative ego. You don't have to eliminate all these negative emotions or all these negative thoughts. All you really have to do is bring your thoughts into alignment for what you really want and how it feels to have that in your life. So you're bringing yourself into alignment consciously in your thoughts and in your emotions, and the positive imagery and the positive thoughts of what you want to create combined with the good feeling about yourself then motivates you to take appropriate action. And every time you sidestep, something has come in to sabotage you, you just have to reset yourself and go back to it. It's not as hard as people think.
Right. And one of the things that I can say about your work, I mean, because God knows I could go on for days, but because, and I'm probably saying the same thing five different ways, but it's just so important to me, because everything I've learned as an initiate in the Minor Mystery School, and specifically to working with you, has been about, and what really part of my life mission is, to help people live a grounded spiritual life. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that you bring up almost, you know, weekly when you do the meditation again, it doesn't start again until June, but please, you know, if you want a treat for yourself every Thursday night, I'm telling you, is that, I mean, I can't tell you how much my life has changed since I met you. I mean, you gave me my second initiation, my Know Thyself initiation in the Modern Mystery School. And I feel like that kind of officially or unofficially makes you my guide. but the thing that I love, John, that I learn with you, you know, daily, depending on when we check in or whatever, you and Marcy and I, is that it's all about grounding it. And it doesn't matter how much time you spend out in the mountain with all the woo-woo cool energies and stuff, if you can't ground it into something real and practical and usable, there's no point. And I can't say enough for people who are looking for a coach and a teacher, what a gift it is to work with you, because you help me. I mean, since I've known you, I'm a completely different person than when I started, and I'm not afraid to say that at all, because it's true. But also, you help each of us get better at being exactly who we are, which is, I think, what our highest calling is anyway.
Well, you know, in the end, we all have greatness within us. And the only thing that's stopping us from living our genius, living our greatness, is all of these layers of masks or opinions even that other people have thrown upon us. Even people that did it because they love and care for us, such as family and friends. But the truth is, the greatness within us can only shine when we're willing to step out of our fear and step into our strength and power. So all this spiritual training, I mean, there's so much information out there, and a lot of it is very good, but one thing I think that's really lacking is how to take the spiritual training and apply it in a daily practical way that you can literally turn your life around. And when you have that, it's like, oh, this is the missing link. This is how I do it. This is how I apply the spiritual concept. This is how I connect to this thing called unconditional love. Oh, and by the way, connect to unconditional love is great, but how do I use it? If I don't know how to use it, what's the point of connecting to it? To just sit in bliss? Well, that's great. What if it has a lot more power to life and everything you want to create than just sitting in bliss? How do I harness this thing called love and light and become the person that I truly desire to be? Now, there's a lot more to this than just good ideas. And the practical application is the key to everything. That's basically what Kabbalah taught me. And Hermetics goes far deeper into it.
Oh, yeah. So I mean, that's the, John, I'm sorry for interrupting, but I have to say, that's the thing that really blew my mind. that was also the most difficult for me to handle was that the further along we went in that year-long process with you, the more I had, my connection with it, I have to say, is through 12-step work, because I'm a grateful Al-Anon. And what I tell people about Universal Kabbalah, and if you need more information about Universal Kabbalah, you can just go to universalkabbalah.com. Kabbalah is spelled K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H. If you Google it, you'll get in touch with Verla Wade and some other women who are teaching it, and it's just an incredible experience. The point is that, like, the further along we got into studying each of the sephira, the more that I realized it's not about other people doing something to me, or like, and it sounds so simple, but it so isn't when it's actually you integrating the reality of the fact that everything going on in your life is exactly about what you create. It's absolutely about what you create. And every ritual I've learned in the mystery school has helped me to stay grounded and safely in my body so that I could experience everything I've experienced that's led up to this conversation with you tonight, and to feel grounded and centered and productive, you know? I mean, and I'm probably talking in circles. It's just, it's so important to me that people understand that. I mean, the reason that people, that a lot of people in the spiritual community now are having a really hard time is because everybody is really kind of sick of being on the mountaintop, and people are struggling, and they need to know what to do here now in their body.
Maybe go jogging. I'm actually kind of serious. The thing is that, you know, there's when you think of a spiritual person, a lot of people think of, and actually I'm speaking from my own personal experience, so I'm assuming, and this is crazy, but I'm assuming that people think this way. But when most people think of a spiritual person, they think of an old man sitting in lotus position in meditation in robes underneath a tree somewhere in the middle of nowhere, who is fully enlightened, sitting and smiling. And this man or woman, this person, has all the answer to every spiritual concept in the world, and can, of course, can levitate and raise the dead and do all kind of cool tricks or magical stuff or spiritual stuff. So that's the imagery people have. And I got to tell you, that's what I was looking for. I was searching for that for years. And I met people who proclaimed themselves to be that way, but the reality was, as long as that's what we chase, we're chasing the illusion that to be spiritual is to have knowledge and be isolated. And in reality, spirituality is living life.
Yep.
It is going jogging. It is engaging in the world. It's being part of this world. It's just not letting the world define you. And that's probably the most difficult thing for spiritual people to understand. How do you be in the world and not of it? Because we are so absorbed in our life, in our interactions with people. And because of our interactions with people, as a culture, we spend more time focusing on avoiding pain or avoiding conflict or avoiding what we think someone else is thinking.
Yeah, it's more true. So
than just doing what we just want to do.
And John, John, I'm going to interrupt you only because we're running out of time, and I want to make sure that I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. I want to tell, because we're going to start our exit music in a minute here, I want to make sure people know that they can reach you at sanctycenter.com, sanctycenter.com. Your email is info@sanctycenter.com. Your phone number is 323-354-5771. And John, I love you with all the love that I have, and I really continue to bless and thank you and Marcy so much for everything that you do for all of us.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you being on today.
Love to you too, dear.
Thank you.